I'd like to take a moment to take you back to high school and the language and literature classes you may have taken back in the day. There's a good chance that at some point during those years you looked at your syllabus and thought, who cares? What does this have to do with my life? Or even, this is so old. Does this really matter today? Well, when it comes to ancient Greek tragedies, our next guest has an answer for you, a resounding yes. Brian Dorries is a theater director who has embraced ancient Greek tragedies as a way to help people confront modern traumas, things like war, incarceration, and death of a loved one. Brian's the founder of a theater company that puts on plays for veterans, prisoners, the elderly. He's the author of a new book called The Theater of War, What Ancient Greek Tragedies Can Teach Us Today. He joins us now. Brian, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Where did you first get this idea to use ancient Greek tragedies to help veterans deal with the trauma of their experiences?
I wasn't the first person in the academic world to make the connection between ancient Greek warfare and ancient Greek drama. Sophocles was a general. The Athenians in the 5th century had been at war for nearly 80 out of 100 years. The audience would have been mostly combat veterans. The actors themselves would have been combat veterans. And many of the plays deal explicitly with topics that those who've been to war intrinsically understand. But I was the first person crazy enough to try to put ancient Greek plays in front of contemporary Marines and soldiers. And in 2008, I got my first audience of 400 Marines in a Hyatt ballroom in San Diego. We performed scenes from Sophocles' plays, and their response changed my life and changed my relationship to ancient Greek tragedy.
Yeah, I want to talk through that scene, Brian. You've persuaded, I think, skeptical, it's fair to say, officers to let this thing happen. You've got a skeptical audience of Marines out there, I think you said, looking at their phones at first in the book. What happened during the show and what happened after that show that that told you you were onto something here?
So we perform only sections of these plays, and we do it as a reading, but it's more like a reading on steroids. Spit is flying, vocal cords are being shredded. We also work with some of the best actors in the field. That first performance, we had Jesse Eisenberg and David Strathairn. And about 45 minutes into the performance, I mean, you could have heard a pin drop, the phones all went away, the audience members, the Marines leaned forward in their seats and they did what in the military is called locking on. They stared at the stage, at their target with this incredible level of attention I'd never seen in the theater before. And when the performance was over, we had scheduled a 45-minute period for just a discussion of what resonated with these ancient Greek war plays with this audience. And the discussion lasted 3.5 hours and had to be cut off at midnight. And each person who spoke quoted lines from Sophocles' plays as if he or she had known the plays their entire life and related those lines to harrowing personal stories that never shared in public, let alone in private, and explicated and illuminated what these ancient Greek plays signify 2,500 years later in this really remarkable way.
Yeah, what is it that these Greek playwrights got right 2,500 years ago, 2.5 millennia, that today's war veterans feel so powerfully, that it speaks to them so powerfully?
Well, the Greeks knew that it wasn't safe or adaptive to cry during combat. You know, we have a lot of professions in our modern world today where we practice a level of clinical detachment that happens in warfare, it happens in hospitals, and rightfully so. You certainly want there to be a hierarchy. You want people to be slightly dispassionate when they're doing something where the stakes are so high. But the Greeks also knew that it wasn't safe and it wasn't healthy to bottle up the emotions, the appropriate emotions one should feel with regard to the witnessing of suffering and death in these high-stakes situations, that there had to be a place and there had to be a time where people were given permission to feel those emotions and express them. And my book argues and my work argues that ancient Greek theater was, in fact, that place, the theater of Dionysus, which was in the center of Athens, that highly militarized democracy from which we have borrowed so much, that theater was the very place where people were given permission to feel again what it was appropriate to feel.
When I think veterans and trauma, I think the phrase PTSD leaps to mind, but you say it's more than that. You use the phrase, I think, moral injury, this sense that some you've had to have a different moral framework, negative in many ways, positive in the sense of camaraderie of wartime. How do you come back from that and live in a civilian world? Is that what you're trying to tackle here?
Yeah, I mean, moral injury, this is a concept that's recently come up. I mean, PTSD, as many people know, you know, is really only a product of the last 25, 30 years, you know, as a term. So it would be preposterous for me to say that the ancient Greeks were talking about PTSD, because that's really a very modern conception of trauma. But moral injury, this notion, as Jonathan Shea puts it in his work, that the betrayal of what's right in a high-stakes situation in which you often have very little control, an event occurs that upends your moral compass, your sense of right and wrong, that a betrayal happens where you feel you've been devalued or your worldview or your values have been upended. In the high-stakes asymmetrical warfare of the last 14 years, our current conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, it seems the opportunity for moral injury to take place, these types of betrayals of self, betrayal by others, only proliferate with the intensity of this type of warfare. And so these plays speak to deeply human, deeply moral, deeply spiritual issues. They speak to military values that in some ways haven't changed across thousands of years. And these contemporary military audiences respond to them as if they've been written directly for them and with them in mind.
Talking to Brian Dorries, founder of Theater of War, author of a book of the same name, The Theater of War, talking about how he uses ancient Greek drama, ancient tragedies, to help veterans and others deal with the traumatic experiences of their lives. One objection that you encountered from some officers as you went into this, Brian, was the idea that, you know, seeing these traumatic plays could re-traumatize. This is something that you shouldn't be confronted with, something similar to your own trauma. How did you respond to that? How did that work out in the performances you've done?
Well, I want to be really respectful. People deal with trauma in many different ways, and there's no one prescribed way of healing. But what the Greeks knew, and what we've been learning from these audiences, is that it's very powerful, it's very validating, it's very healing to come together as a community and not to suffer in isolation, but to acknowledge what you've been through as a group. And so this fear that we'd be re-traumatizing people who've experienced death and loss and threat to their lives and their loved ones, it certainly was something we took very seriously. And we always have mental health professionals present when we perform. But what I see night after night in every audience for whom we perform, and the audiences and the face members of audience members, is a palpable sense of relief when people see their own struggles reflected in a 2,500-year-old story, when they see that they're not alone, not only not alone in their community or across the country and the world, but most important, they're not alone across time. And that is the public health message. I think that's the most healing aspect of what we do.
I want to get into at least one of the stories that you present in these Ajax, one of the, on the Greek side, I believe, in the Trojan War. Sum up his story, the part at least you portrayed for veterans and how they reacted to that.
So Ajax is a story about a decorated Greek warrior, the strongest in the Greek army, who in the ninth year of the Trojan War loses his best friend and Achilles, and slips into a depression. He's devalued, in some ways betrayed by his commanding officers when they pass him over for the award of Achilles' armor, and he flies off into a blind rage and attempts to kill his commanding officers, and ultimately takes his own life in shame against the pleading of his family. You know, I often ask audiences, well, why do you think Sophocles wrote this play? What was he trying to say? What was he trying to do, this general, in a century in which the Athenians saw nearly 80 years of war? The most common response I hear back to Ajax from military audiences, I heard it first on a German, U.S.-German artillery base, was a young enlisted soldier raised his hand. I said, I think Sophocles wrote this play to boost morale. I say, well, what's morale boosting about watching a great warrior come unraveled in this way in the ninth year of the war after losing his best friend? And before I could finish asking the question, the young enlisted soldier shot back, because it's the truth, and because we're all sitting here as a community acknowledging it. It's not being whitewashed. And for me, that was a huge revelation as a civilian, that the stories of these plays depict very grim, very dark stories. Some of the darkest aspects of our humanity manifest on stage. The hope in these stories is not in the plays themselves. It's in the audience that comes together to bear witness to the truth of the story. And for me, it was a major revelation to realize that one could find solace and even hope and joy and camaraderie in facing the darkness together. And the military has taught me that over and over again as we've been touring these performances.
We're talking to Brian Dorries. He's the founder of Theater of War and author of the book, The Theater of War, What Ancient Greek Tragedies Can Teach Us About Today. He's talking about his work to help people overcome trauma using ancient drama. We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you're a veteran yourself, what has helped you confront, maybe talk about your experiences? Is there a book, a movie, or even a play that powerfully captured what you'd been through? Do you have questions about the work that Brian's doing? What do you think about this idea? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation now with Brian Dorries, founder of Theater of War, author of the book, The Theater of War, What Ancient Greek Tragedies Can Teach Us About Today. We're talking about his work to help people overcome trauma using ancient works of drama. We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you suffered from some kind of trauma like this? Are you a veteran yourself? What resources, maybe creative resources, have you used to overcome it? What got you talking about it? What do you think about Brian's approach? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. We have Tom on the line with us in Wausau. Tom, hi.
Hi. I really like, I'm a veteran with PTSD, and I really like the idea of the moral, the other spin that he put on this. Can you repeat that moral?
Moral injury, I think was the phrase.
Moral injury, yes, that's so spot on, because and he also mentioned worldview and how when things don't match up to your worldview and you see children that should be in school becoming combatants and things like that, it hurts morally, and that really adds to the PTSD from trauma, from any, you know, getting blown up or anything else, but seeing kids or pregnant women that are strapped with bombs.
And Tom, is there anything you think that has helped you? I'm glad, and thank you for being able to talk about it now. Is there something that's helped you talk about it, helped you work with this trauma, talking to other veterans or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And your guest brought up group work. That's very helpful. Individual counseling too, and actually just talking about it, because some of the things that happen that you feel like just shouldn't have never happened, and then you find out that it happened to other people too, and people are accepting of you and willing to listen to you, that helps.
Tom, thank you so much for calling, and good luck as you continue to deal with that trauma. Brian, I imagine you hear stories like this a lot, and a key part of your performances isn't just the performance themselves, but that opportunity to talk, as Tom just was.
Yeah, I mean, the performance for us is really just a catalyst, a pretext for a conversation that wouldn't have happened otherwise, and we value the discussion over the performance. We have wonderful actors. They deliver the material at its most extreme, and in some ways, what they're doing is giving the audience permission to do what the previous caller just did, which is to speak the truth of their experiences. And by going to the furthest extreme, we're not saying to the audience or to anyone that everyone who goes to war comes back with these extreme emotions. We're just saying, you know, if you in any way relate to anything on the spectrum of what we're performing, then, you know, you're not alone, and it's normal, and let's talk about it. And so if I had one word to define our work, it's permission.
Tom, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. To another caller now, Charles is with us in Milwaukee. Charles, hi.
Hi. This is a really great topic. When these wars started, growing up in the 70s, I saw what happened to Vietnam vets, and I went from being a truck driver to being a social worker, specifically with the intention of working with Iraq, Afghanistan vets because I recognize the need that I did that. It's not going to end anytime soon. I mean, the traumas of war are going to continue for a lot of these people. I saw with Vietnam. I'm too young for World War II. I'm glad you mentioned Jonathan Shea. I would certainly hope you're familiar with Ed Pick. He has done a lot of work with, based in Greek mythology. One of the works he points to is Homer's Odyssey. I mean, there's a reason why it took so many years. Well, it took so many years to get back from I guess Troy or wherever, and with this hopping on a plane and you know being back here, there's less time to process and recover from these injuries. I thank you for your work.
Charles, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, Brian, what did you want to say?
Well, Jonathan Shea, who wrote Achilles in Vietnam, is a MacArthur Award-winning psychiatrist who worked with Vietnam veterans for decades, and he argues that storytelling in the Western world was born from the need to hear and tell the veteran story, that it's not a coincidence the Iliad and the Odyssey are really war stories. And the Odyssey, as your caller just pointed out, is a story of a veteran's 10-year journey home after a 10-year war. And this point that he makes that our veterans now, without any time to process what they've been through, jump on airplanes, and within 24 hours of being on the battlefront or on the home front, really, I think, couldn't be overstated. You know, the very healing mechanisms that were afforded in the ancient world just by the proximity of distance and the ability to take time to process these things are not afforded to our veterans. And so we have to find ways, we have to find tools to give them the space and time, both in private, but I would argue also in public, with citizens around them who haven't been touched by the war, collectively shouldering the burdens they brought back as a community.
Talking to Brian Dorries about his new book, The Theater of War, What Ancient Greek Tragedies Can Teach Us Today. Back to our callers now with Jim in Fontana. Jim, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? I'm not a veteran. I am a professional storyteller, though, and I've been interviewing for 30 years all kinds of people. I interviewed a D-Day survivor. I'm interviewing a Vietnam survivor right now, a vet. And with all of our society's denial of what really happens, there's a photographer tried to get a photo published from the road to hell. It was in Iraq, of a Iraqi trying to climb out of his truck, and he was completely burned. And nobody would publish it. It was finally published in The Observer in England. Nobody in America would publish it. You know, we didn't have any pictures taken of the caskets coming in to Delaware. Mm-hmm. And as a storyteller, I also have a certified counselor, too. I've seen the incredible power of just telling your story. It's part of what I do for the last 30 years. And I'm just wondering if, as a culture, partly because of the media and political manipulation, we don't really know really what's going on. And so, therefore, you know, what you don't know, you're afraid of. So we can't listen to the stories. We're afraid to listen to the stories. So our veterans come back and they're so very isolated because of that. Does that make sense in your experience?
Yeah, I mean, I would say absolutely. I mean, as you know, I'm sure less than 0.5% of our population has served in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. So they are by nature isolated. And I think, and you know, I would defer to you also as a storyteller. But for me, you know, just as a normal citizen, I didn't know anyone in the military when I started this project. If I let myself feel what it would be appropriate to feel, simply opening the newspaper or walking, in my case, in New York City to the subway every day, I would be overwhelmed with emotion. And I think we as human beings build up all kinds of protective walls, even if we don't work in these intense professions, not to feel what it would be appropriate to feel if we really, you know, let our humanity respond to the stories that we hear. And there's something about live storytelling as a medium of being in the presence of in the room with someone who's portraying the struggle or the suffering of another individual that breaks through those defensive walls and mediates and creates an opportunity for people to actually feel something that would be appropriate. Now, it works for veterans who've been maybe disconnected from their feelings for all kinds of reasons, but we also do performances for the general public. We'll be at Guggenheim Museum tomorrow night and for a mostly civilian audience. And you know, the idea is that we need story. We desperately need live storytelling to sit in a room together to acknowledge our shared humanity. it's not magic. I don't think it heals people. It's not the fix. It's just a door, and people can walk through it. And without that medium, I don't know how people find their way. I think it's a crucial thing that we as humans do, and maybe as a culture have lost touch with because of how isolated and mediated we are by our technology.
Brian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
That's Brian Dorries, founder of Theater of War. He's author of the new book, The Theater of War, What Ancient Greek Tragedies Can Teach Us Today.